This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
Next up, Dr. David Morehouse.
I'm so glad that you called me because you are doing such an important task, important work, because you are spreading a very positive message.
I was really moved by last week's show because we made a commitment to a worldwide event to try to change consciousness.
I'm feeling enormous energy around this show, just enormous. I really have to hand it to you, Nicole. You've created sort of a niche of amazing connections. It's just like the angels and the devatas that are like attracted to News for the Soul is amazing.
And we love News for the Soul!
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for Transformational Healing with Yanya. Yanya is a very powerful and intuitive energy healing practitioner. She's gifted at helping people to better handle their lives and to get a deeper understanding of their connection with spirits. Her experience is based on decades of study of many true teachings of the world, as well as her own search and practice of ancient wisdom, mystical traditions, and quantum physics. Let's welcome Yanya back to News for the Soul now.
She's here live. Yanya, how are you?
Oh, Nicole, I'm good. And how are you doing?
Woo! Coming out the other side. A lot of energy, a lot of stuff going on. The eclipse, oh my goodness. Powerful stuff.
Powerful stuff, as you say. And I've been hearing all about Houston.
Oh, yeah.
And the hurricanes, and it's powerful. It's not only powerful for human beings, you know, it's powerful for the earth. Everything is being turned upside down, and we must really get with it because it's not ever going to go back to what it was.
Yeah.
We just have to do the best we can with what we have and know, absolutely know, that on some level, it is all for our good. That's the most important thing. That's the only thing that will actually get us to where we want to be.
You know, and I know you talk about that a lot. It's the most important thing. It's easy to say, but hard to do sometimes, isn't it?
It's really hard to do. But, you know, you're not the only ones that are having these problems. Here in Switzerland, we've had a massive mudslide where the mud was like a river, actually. Thick river that went up to two-story houses were totally under mud. So
oh, wow.
It's everywhere. And
why do you think it's everywhere?
Simply because the earth is shaking itself up and shaking out all the negativity that we as human beings have been generating for millions of years. Literally millions of years. And just as our bodies accept the emotions, the negative emotions, and process them so that they don't really impact us all that much. And it only comes out later when we can actually deal with it. In the same way, the earth is processing all those emotions that it has kept for centuries and thousands of years. And now has come the time to clear it all up because we are moving into a different age. And negativity has no place in that age. No place at all. It's got to be cleared. So what we can do is just help with the clearing by sending love, by sending, well, I don't want to say appreciation because it's really hard to appreciate, you know, what we're getting, but sending love to those parts that are unhappy. There's nothing we can do about it. It's just like when a child has caught its hand in the door and is screaming. There's nothing you can do about it. You can just hold the child and love it. Love it until it's better. That's all we can do with all those energies that are coming up. Love them until they feel better.
Mm. That's well put. As always.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Well, what's your topic today? And how does
my
it tie?
Topic today, well, it was healing. Strangely enough, it was healing. Because for a lot of people, energy healing doesn't have much meaning. Simply because energy is so intangible. It can't be seen. And we're used to dealing with visible symptoms. So the fact healing can be done without being physically present with a person is very mysterious. And I do get a lot of questions about that. So I thought today I would explain a little more. So first, we must realize that the word healing has many levels to it. And the most obvious level is physical. Healing a pain in the knee, or healing a cut in a finger, or healing a disease. That's what most people relate to. The next level is healing an emotional pain or discomfort. And that we also, on some level, understand when we say we want to heal a relationship with a partner or with a child, or we want to heal some personal issues like feeling unworthy, not good enough, or we want to get rid of that lack of self-confidence or anxiety, stop feeling a failure and overwhelmed. And there's also a mental healing that we can go through. Like when we're mentally imbalanced, not to say completely crazy and in an institution, but just on the mental level, we can also heal false beliefs and limiting beliefs we have about how life works. And on that level, all of us, without a single exception, need healing. Mostly because we simply don't recognize that a lot of our beliefs are simply false. And unless we know they're false and want to change them, we will keep them forever. But of course, we all need healing on some, if not on all levels. If we're honest with ourselves, we see that. Our life is not yet perfect. But healing is never about getting rid of anything, never about removing anything, but it's always about transmuting and integrating. And that is changing one form of energy into another. That means changing a physical manifestation into another that feels better to us. Changing a perception into another view of the situation. Changing one belief into another that we prefer. Let's start with the traditional way of healing, which doctors use. And that's through administering medication and, in more extreme cases, surgery. All of that sometimes is still needed. Every healing modality has its place. But medication is only treating a symptom. When the symptom goes away, the patient is happy, but this only takes into account the dense, visible part of us, whether it's swallowing pills or cutting out some part of the body. We've completely forgotten the energetic part of us, our thoughts, perceptions, and beliefs. and all physical symptoms have started on the emotional and energetic levels. Science now estimates that 95% of the causes of any problem, whether physical, mental, or emotional, lies in that invisible, intangible, energetic part. We know that all our ailments, even when temporarily cured, often come back, or some other symptom develops instead, because the root problem hasn't been addressed. The root cause has not been healed, and that lies in the invisible realms of energy, thoughts, and emotions. Science has now proved that everything is energy, whether it's intangible like thoughts or emotions, or dense like our body, so it can be perceived by the physical senses. So if we look at our hand under a sufficiently high-powered microscope, it simply disappears. All you see is space. And space is not empty. It's filled with energy that holds it all together. It's also been called love energy. I'm sure you've heard the statement, nature abhors a vacuum. So there is no empty space in the whole of the universe, of which we are a part. That energy is God energy, source energy, love energy. And ignoring that greater part of us when we need a healing really makes no sense at all. We're told that if the whole universe had all the so-called empty space taken out, so that all the solid bits were collapsed together, it would be the size of a green pea. And a quote from Thomas Edison says, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame, in diet, and in the cause and prevention of disease." And that was said not so long ago. Now, we have many naturopaths, homeopaths, holistic and aromatherapy practitioners, energy healers, sound healers, you name it, we have it. And they are doing precisely what Thomas Edison predicted. And going even beyond that, people doing spiritual healing without the aid of plants, music, or diet. And for myself, I'm interested primarily in the causes and the prevention of disease. It would be so much more comfortable for us if we didn't get sick and didn't have to do all these sometimes painful and always time-consuming procedures to get well again. Even if you look at it logically, the body is wired to heal itself if we don't interfere with the process. When you cut your finger, the bleeding stops on its own very shortly. You clean the wound, put a band-aid on to stop dirt getting in, and forget about it. You don't moan and think, "I'll bleed to death, I'll die soon." Not one fleeting thought goes to the idea it might never heal. You know that it will. And all on its own, without you doing anything. A more serious wound would need more care, or a different kind of care. But basically, our bodies are wired to heal themselves, and are wired to live for much longer than they currently do. Accounts in the scriptures of people like Methuselah, who lived over 800 years, were not fables. They're true. And whatever is true for one person can also be true for another if they want it and create the right conditions for it. And as for preventing diseases, since we know that at the basic level everything is energy, including our thoughts, And we now know that 95% of all diseases have at their root emotional causes, that our emotions are a result of our feelings, that our feelings are caused by our thoughts. Then logically, if we just watch our thoughts so that as much as possible, they're in the high register of love, appreciation, gratitude, and joy, then the negative thoughts of frustration, resentment, or fear don't have as much room in your life to generate the disruptions in your body. Doesn't that make sense? You can't hold a thought of love at the same time as you hold a thought of fear. It just isn't possible. So the more time you give to thoughts of appreciation and gratitude, the less time there will be for thoughts of frustration and resentment. Doesn't that make sense? I myself started on the energy healing path because of a physical problem I developed that got completely resolved through first understanding the energetic cause for it, and second, doing what was necessary to remove the energetic cause. And that doing can take many different forms, depending on the unique path that you, as spirit, have designed for yourself. We can be going from the physical to metaphysical to esoteric or even completely woo stuff. So let me tell you a bit about my problem. One day I woke up with a pain in my right foot. I never knew bones could hurt, but a bone right in the middle was painful and kept getting more painful. Within a few days, the foot had doubled in size, bright red verging on violet, with the swelling creeping up above my ankles to almost my knee. I could no longer walk. Antibiotics made no difference, and I was hearing words of operation and amputation more and more often. But no one could really pin down what it was, and somewhere I knew there was no reasonable reason for it, because I hadn't done anything to it. Within a couple of weeks, I could no longer wear even a slipper. The pain was unbearable, and the skin looked like it would burst any moment. Apart from an operation, the only avenue left was turning to God. So I started asking questions. Where am I making wrong choices? What could I do that would heal the problem? What's the divine purpose of my life that I'm not seeing? Because by then, I was already on a spiritual path. I was active in a community, praying and meditating, while my family thought I had joined a cult. But that's quite another story. So days were going by in constant questioning, but my condition was getting progressively worse. Until one evening, the image of two shamans, two healers, dropped into my head, and I almost heard what they had said to me on two separate occasions. And those occasions had happened a few years back. And I had never met either of these people before. The first one, straight off the bat, told me I was a healer, which of course I heatedly denied. I'm ashamed to say I even laughed, because I wasn't a healer. And then he also told me why I was resisting it so much, and that it was my choice whether to honor the path or refuse it. And another medium a year or so later told me exactly the same thing, and my reaction was exactly the same. I never even remembered I had been told that before. And now, unable to walk, asking God for illumination as for the reasons for a problem, they both dropped into my awareness. together with the absolute knowing that I had been shown my path twice over, being told it in so many words at different times, but I had refused to go there because I knew nothing about healing. And their words now resounded in my head. You are a healer. The absolute knowing that this was it, that this was what I was called to do, regardless of my ability or capability, that this was the reason for my problem. It was so strong, it couldn't be ignored or denied. I just knew the problem would not be resolved unless I listened. Instantly, what shot through my mind was, if you want me to do this, I will. But you have to bring me everything I need because I don't even know where to start. It was an absolute and firm commitment, such as I had never done before. And with that, a sense of peace, of all is well, came over me, in spite of the pain and the added concern of having committed to something I had no idea how to accomplish. And I went to bed more peaceful than in a long while. In the morning, the pain was almost gone. The swelling was halfway down. And the next day, the leg looked and felt as if it had never had the slightest problem. And in the following week, the first step of what I had to do was brought to me on a platter. And this time, I accepted and acted on it. I went to a workshop, learning my first healing modality. So, if this could happen to me, I wanted to share with the world how physical problems could be helped, not only or necessarily through medical assistance. That there is a deeper spiritual truth to every physical appearance. And when that's addressed, what looks like a miracle can occur. But I also wanted to make it quite clear that addressing an issue is not only understanding it, but also doing whatever is necessary to right the actual specific situation. And in my case, righting the specific situation meant I had to be a healer. But it was physically impossible in that moment, because I was incapacitated and not even in my own country. But I committed fully, and Spirit recognized how irrevocable that commitment was and arranged things so I could physically start the process. And that's what I did. 1 week later, when my very first step was shown to me. As I advanced on the path of healing, not only physical but emotional challenges, and learned ways to assist people, my practice grew almost in spite of me. Because I had committed to the God within me to be a healer, to fulfill my soul's purpose for this lifetime, step after step I was given what was needed for that purpose. But also, just think. At that time, I was retired, 75 years old, and had never had anything to do with healing of any kind. I thought my active life was over, that I fully deserved to just live quietly, praying and meditating, which I loved to do. If then I'd been shown that I would start a business, have a website, write blogs, at that time, I didn't even know what the word meant, but it sounded to me quite nasty. If then I'd been shown that I would be on Facebook, create a program, make audios, write a book, which I have just written, speak on radio, which I'm doing right now, I would have totally gone to pieces. But only one small thing after another appeared, and I could deal with just one thing at a time. Speaking on radio would have freaked me out if I'd been asked to do that first. And I would have said, no, definitely not. That's not for me. Even now, I still have fear around it. But I have learned to face and get past it. Spirit knows what it's doing. Spirit is always kind and considerate. And so gave me only a little bit of a stretch each time. First, you're a healer. I could envisage that. It would be really nice if I could help people. Also, I had told God he would have to show me what to do, as I didn't know where to start. Google wasn't in my consciousness then. And to tell the truth, it still isn't. So God arranged it, so that as soon as I got home, a friend called to say there was a workshop on energy healing offered not far from where I lived. And would I go with her? My heart sank down into my heels as I remembered my promise to Spirit, which I'd forgotten because of traveling back home after a 4-month absence. But I immediately said yes, because I had to follow through on my commitment. I had to keep my word. That's how it all started for me, and not everyone is supposed to be a healer. Some people need to start a business, paint pictures, play music, help handicapped or old people, be a life coach, create computer software. Everyone is here because of a need, or you wouldn't be alive. So you are necessary. You must fulfill the contract you signed up for when you were spirit, even if now you don't quite remember what that contract was. Otherwise, your life will stagnate, shrivel, and contract. Having a bigger vision for your life is so important. Bigger than just making it through the day or the week in a job you don't like. Bigger than just looking for the perfect partner or your dream house, or healing constant health problems. You must find that thing you really want to do or were enthusiastic about at one time, but life got in the way. Maybe it's now time to try it again. That's the most important thing, doing what you love. In fact, if you're fully living for your vision, all the other issues seem to fade away, excuse me, become unimportant, or they get resolved almost miraculously. So the path I was originally shown by healing physical issues has evolved and expanded over time and touched different aspects of healing, emotional, mental, and spiritual, which is when we start to see that any challenge or issue is first and foremost the evidence of a deeper healing, our expansion into the awareness of us as spiritual beings. That's the deep healing that we all must to get to. We are spiritual beings. I realized our every desire is instantly answered by spirit, but it's delivered to the address of our soul's vibration. So our soul has expanded and embraced that new level, but as a personality, we're not there yet. And that gap between what our soul's vibration is and what our personality's vibration is shows up as all the various symptoms and difficulties we experience. When your frequency has aligned with your soul's frequency, all the quote-unquote things you so much want can be yours. So what we notice as an ailment or discomfort is proof that our soul has activated our desire, expanded into it, and our personality is still catching up with that expansion. We don't blame anyone or anything for our experience, even if it's an accident, least of all ourselves. The crisis is evidence that our consciousness is expanding, and we must endeavor to see the potential that is hidden in it and accept the situation as a gift from spirit. We may not like it, but we accept it as an opportunity given by spirit to have the greatest expansion in the least possible time. If we can embrace the condition and acknowledge it's there for a reason, regardless of how painful, disturbing, or even life-threatening the actual experience is, if we can accept that this is the greatest gift the divine could ever give us, then through that heartfelt acceptance, it instantly becomes the will of the divine to heal it, because it has nothing more to teach us. We are no longer judging it. The first really effective level of healing is through releasing the emotional causes of a problem. From our very early childhood, we've had experiences. We are told to stop making such a noise. Stop demanding that cookie or ice cream. You're just too much. It's not nice to fight with your little sister or brother. And all done by parents with good intentions to make their child behave, be accepted in society, when all the child is doing is expressing the way they're feeling in this moment, expressing their emotions. The child obeys, stops doing whatever, but feels put down, unloved, rejected, unsafe, that the world is against them. And that creates all those shadows, in addition to the emotion getting stuck in the body because it's suppressed and can't move. Emotions are meant to move, and eventually, when they can move, they release. And emotions do have a physical mass about the size of an orange or a grapefruit. It can be felt when it comes to the surface to be released. So when that emotion or energy in motion gets stuck in the body because it's not expressed and not allowed to move, it impacts the tissues around it and over time creates pain or a problem, which then we try to resolve by taking a pill. That removes the symptom, but not the cause, which is that stuck emotion, which continues to press on a muscle or block a meridian or whatever it's doing. And then some other pain starts somewhere else. So we go and take another pill for the next problem. And that goes on and on. You must know it. It's always happening. So, for an example, let's say you were angry and acting out when 8 years old, and your mother told you to stop that. It's not nice. You stuffed it, and it got lodged in your... You stuffed it and it got lodged in your knee. Now you're 50 or whatever, and your knee is giving you trouble. You completely forgot the incident, but your 95% subconscious knows exactly what happened, when, and why your knee is hurting. If you can get the right information from your subconscious, then you bring that anger up into your consciousness, to the surface of the body. It can't be released where it's buried deep down. And once it's up on the surface, you release it. There may be more than one emotion there. Keep asking and keep releasing until there are no more left. Then the energetic cause of the knee problem is gone. The energetic body comes back into balance, and over a little time, the physical body can also come back into a healthy state. Sometimes it's immediate. Mostly, it takes a little bit of time. So let me illustrate that with a dental issue I had a short time after I started energy healing. I was forever going to the dentist with an infection of one particular tooth and getting antibiotics for it. It worked, it got better for a while, and then started up again, so more antibiotics were needed. And that went on for more than a year, when I decided to really take the time to do emotional healing on myself. As you can gather, I'm not great at taking time for myself for healing my own problems. But then I was truly fed up with the situation. So next time I felt the tooth becoming painful, instead of going to the dentist, I started finding the emotions and consciously releasing them, as many as I could in any one sitting. And after a few times, there was a little bit of improvement. Every few days, I would redo a session, and there was more improvement. Until after a month or so, I didn't feel the tooth anymore. I thought that was it, stopped working on it. A week or two later, it started hurting again. More layers of emotions were coming up to be released, and every time, the period of having no pain would lengthen until after 3 or 4 months, the pain just didn't come back. Now I think it must be 5 or 6 years that I've had no pain and no infection at all in that tooth, or any other tooth for that matter. And the most mind-boggling thing about it all is that I must have released 800 to 1,000 stuck emotions over these months. At a certain point, when I got to 600, I stopped counting. And I was working on only one small spot under one particular tooth. Can you imagine? It's mind-boggling to me. So often I find that a client's physical issue can be dramatically improved or even resolved by clearing trapped emotions. Even if sometimes becoming aware of the reason for that emotion is necessary before it can be released. Like for one client I had, her emotion was one of abandonment, and she kept saying, "That's not possible. I was never abandoned. I'm happy in my marriage, my kids are fine, my parents love me." But the emotion would not release. So we kept digging deeper. And finally I said, "Look back about 10, 12 years. Did anything happen then that was not usual or that was painful?" And she thought about it and said, "I was then living in that other place. Oh yeah, and I had a dog and the dog died. Could that be it?" So we tested it and that was exactly it. And then she remembered that not only was she sad, but did feel abandoned by her pet. After that, the emotion released very easily. And there are also imbalances we have that don't show up at all in a physical way. So they're undetectable by traditional medicine, scans, or whatever. But they do impact us, sometimes severely, on the emotional and mental level. This is called a heart wall, and we start building it usually in childhood when our heart has been hurt in some way by a perceived lack of love, a perceived rejection, a perceived emotional attack. And I say perceived because the rejection or lack of love is almost never real. But the three-year-old who is told to go to their room if they want to play their drum doesn't have the understanding of an adult and will interpret that as a lack of love or a lack of appreciation for a skill and a new ability they have just developed. And so their heart has been hurt, and the subconscious will want to protect that heart at all costs. So start to build a wall around it that will not let any more hurt reach that heart. The subconscious is very logical. It knows that a wall has to be built of something, and there is nothing extra in the body that can be taken to build that wall without damaging a person. We need every single part of us. And so it turns to the only thing that is extra, and that is trapped emotions that have been added to the body. So that is how a heart wall is built. But what happens is, it not only protects the heart from being attacked from the outside, but it also prevents your legitimate emotions of love, appreciation, approval, validation, or whatever, to be sent to others without being distorted by the negative emotions of anger, sadness, unworthiness, or guilt, or fear that is making up that heart wall. The net result is, just to simplify, that your feelings of love, of being capable, confident, appreciative, can't exteriorize in their pure expression, but get distorted, so may not be received as they were intended. And the pure feelings of love and appreciation for others, of others, for you, can't get to you without being distorted by that same heart wall. And now you can't figure out why things don't work out, why it seems you're blocked everywhere in what you want to accomplish, why you can't find the love of your life, why you self-sabotage, why you can't seem to either get or hold down a job. But once your heart wall has been removed, it seems like life has all of a sudden completely turned around. When I started to release my heart wall, and it was a really thick one, way more than I have ever found in any client, and that took months of regular work too. And then all of a sudden, new clients started showing up seemingly from nowhere. Because at that time, I didn't have a website, I wasn't on Facebook, I didn't advertise. I just had an email where people could contact me. And clients were just sharing my email with their friends and relatives who needed help. So these are a few examples of how energy healing works. And it doesn't have to be done by the laying of hands or being physically present with a person, although it can be done that way. And it can also be done with the photo of a person. Since energy is everywhere and everything, you are energetically connected with everyone and everything, and it only requires your attention, intention, and full awareness of knowing the truth of this. Not just intellectually believing, but really knowing at such a deep level that it can't be shaken by any appearance to the contrary. In the same way as you know that the sun will rise again in the morning, even if everyone tells you that it might not come back after it disappears at night. Even if next morning the sky is covered with clouds and there is no vestige of the sun anywhere, you know it's there and can't be swayed by any appearance. Just as you know that the earth is round, not flat, as was believed by humanity a few hundred years ago. And even if you sometimes act as if it was flat, because it's just more convenient, you still believe and know the earth is round. When you're building a doghouse in your backyard, you make your measurements and calculate your angles as if the earth was flat, because on the scale of a doghouse, it makes no difference. But you still know the truth and can't be shaken out of it. Galileo, who to save his life had to recant his findings, proving the earth was round, and spent his last years under house arrest, never let go of his knowing the truth, even when his words were saying the opposite. So that's the kind of knowing we have to have when doing energy healing and spiritual healing. But while we're holding that space of absolutely knowing the truth, every person must do the healing for themselves, because we're all individually responsible for our own lives. Each individual must consciously choose to align with all that their spirit is, to learn what they need to know from the experience they're having. Every challenge and every issue we have is only there to make us aware of where we're not being, thinking, and acting like our spirit would under those circumstances. And as we make corrections in our thoughts and beliefs to the best of our ability, the symptoms can start diminishing and disappearing. So the solutions lie within each problem. And when we really don't know the deeper reason, beyond the surface reason of an accident or our investments failing, whatever your current issue is, we must turn to spirit and ask with great sincerity. As we have already been told more than 2,000 years ago, ask and you shall receive. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. I think I'm paraphrasing a little, but you get the meaning. We've known about this for thousands of years, but are we truly and sincerely doing it with every issue we have? I think not. We first turn to just doing on the material level, and only when we run out of options do we turn to the all-powerful and all-knowing soul and start asking. So, when you start having financial problems, what's the lesson you have to learn from that? Maybe realize that as an expression, an emanation of spirit, you have all its abundance in potential and that you must activate it. Maybe realize that you must first turn to that source of infinite abundance with recognition and gratitude for its gifts before you start doing things in the outer world to attract money to yourself. The answer will be different for each person, but it's there if you look for it. And when I really didn't know what to do, when in danger of losing my leg, and no one knew how to fix the problem, I was driven to ask with sincerity and was given the answer, shown what I had to do to change and to change in my life. That was nothing to do with healing my leg. And I had to commit to doing it. And my commitment was absolutely irrevocable. Spirit knows everything. Spirit knew the level of my commitment, so the healing could be done almost instantly. Had the level of my commitment been less, maybe I would have been given the chance to prove I meant it. So maybe just had an improvement of my condition until I actually took a course. Nobody ever knows what would have happened if this or if that. But what does happen is meant to, for our highest good. And that doesn't necessarily mean our material good, although it can. But we must first believe and know it for it to work. Also, there is often a symbolic meaning to a challenge. Problems with feet or legs symbolize not advancing in life, not moving forward with your soul purpose. And right leg problems are more specifically connected with our own choices rather than with random events. Also, there's usually a progression. I've had several so-called accidents before, always involving my legs. A twisted ankle, a broken toe, a fall that dislocated my knee, finally a broken hip. But I was not aware enough to look for the deeper cause for all those accidents. And so, for true healing to occur, we must work both on our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs, and sometimes also on the physical body. Just working on the physical body is never enough. Working on changing our limiting and negative thoughts, feelings, and beliefs is enough, but it takes time to change a belief. And not to mention that some of our beliefs are unconscious, meaning we don't even know we have them. So how can we ever change them? But when we work on both the physical and the mental together, then results show up much faster. So I hope this has been valuable to you and has shed light on what energy healing is about. But don't forget, you have to actually put what you learn into practice for it to work for you. So I would ask you to just take one thing you have learned or realized during this time today and really implement it in your life on a consistent basis. And that is how you can begin healing your own body and your life. Determination and consistency will bring you the results you desire. And if you're helped by a professional, they do come much faster. After all, when you were learning to read and write, did you just try it for a few days, a week or two, and then forgot, got interested in something else, just remembered sporadically to write your name? And when you did, you'd forgotten how it went and had to start from scratch again. No way. Even if you didn't feel like it, your parents or your teacher made you do it every day, consistently. Maybe not on Saturdays and Sundays, but it was consistent. Whether you liked it or not, whether you did it well or not, you still had to do it until you got better at it, you got more confident you could do it, then you got more competent, and that again made you more confident. But it was consistent practice for 2 years or more before you could actually read and write with confidence. And the same holds true here. Whatever you choose to practice, commit to doing it every day with full dedication for at least 3 months, or like writing, for a year or two. And I guarantee it will move you forward and it will work. Oh my goodness, Nicole, I have so much enjoyed talking to you about this healing, because I'm sure it's going to be very illuminating and so helpful to a lot of your listeners.
I love the way you articulate the path and the breadcrumb trail, and I so relate to so much of what you said. And those listening, it's always a great gift when you're here live with us, Yanya. You know what? You've got 4 minutes to the top, so we want to do some shameless self-promotion.
Whoa. I will only take 1 minute. Because I really wanted to tell you that my book, Your Infinite Power, is out. It's out on Amazon, and I couldn't be more delighted and excited. And I've already had people buying it. That's incredible, because I have not even advertised it anywhere, except here on your News for the Soul. So maybe it's some of the listeners that have already bought it. But so I'm really excited. And even if it has meant a lot of intense work in the last 2 years, I am really confident it will assist so many in understanding what life is really about and making it work for them better than it ever has. So let me give you a link that you can use for ordering your copy. And it's quite simple. It's http://bit.ly/book-Yanya. So to spell it out, you know how to do http://. Then it's Brother Infinity Thomas dot London Yellow dash book, like a book, and Yanya, like my name, Jania. So if you really want to improve your life by designing it, not living it by default, read that book. So how, that was only a minute or two, wasn't it?
It was. Then I got an email just while you were doing that, and I had a little bit of a shock moment here. I just found out that Louise Hay just passed away this morning.
That what?
Louise Hay.
Oh my goodness.
Just this morning.
Oh my goodness.
Talking. Wow.
God bless Louise Hay. God bless her.
Mm-hmm.
She has done so much.
Yes.
I think so many people are so grateful for her life, for everything she has done.
I believe so. She's one of the early pioneers of a lot of this work. Wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you know how old she was?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm still in stunned mode. I'll get more information as we go, but just found out just now that happened just this morning.
Whoa. Oh, gosh. Louise. Oh, I love you so much, Louise. I have read her books. I have studied her stuff. She's amazing. She's just amazing.
Oh, I'd say I'm getting more information. She was 90, passed in her sleep, natural causes.
Yeah. Well, she has had a really full life, and now she has moved on to being of even more help to even more people, even in a different way, but she will absolutely keep up helping the planet now, maybe on a planetary level.
Yeah, she's gone on to her next level of mission and changed many
lives.
So, wow, that was, I wasn't expecting that. That was surprising. My goodness. But that's the energies, the massive changes and shifts, and we're all in it right now, and that's a good example.
It's a good example that whatever happens is for our highest evolution, and I know it's for hers. I know she's happy. She's just looking back on her life, looking at all of us and saying, I have helped you, now I can help so many more.
Yes, beautifully put. Wow. Well, what an interesting note to leave the show on. But it does go full circle back to where we started. So much love to you, Yanya. I'm already looking forward to the next time, as always. And you take care.
You take care, too. Thank you, Nicole. I love you so much. God bless.
I love you, too. Yanya, Transformational Healing, here on News for the Soul, Alternate Wednesdays. You don't want to miss any of Yanya's shows. If you have, go to her archives. They're all free all the time, newsforthesoul.com.
Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information.
The News for the Soul radio network airs daily, and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.